I want to read three different verses, passages, and the first one is found in the little book of Philemon. That's 1st and 2nd Timothy, then Titus, the book of Philemon. Philemon, and verse number 17. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. Over to, or back to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, and we'll read verse number, just a question in verse number 5 at the end. How much owest thou unto my Lord? A question that is asked in verse number 3. Then the steward said on within himself, what shall I do? And verse number 9, and I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. And one final reading in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Colossians, then 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. And there are two verses just here in my mind. Verse number 17. Pray without ceasing. And verse number 25. Brethren, pray for us. And the Lord will bless the reading of his own word. When I got the email that this was the subject that I was to speak on, well, I don't know what was my reaction, but I wondered, well, what am I going to say? Lightly, you're thinking that the thought that came into my mind was the pounds and the pennies. Well, you don't have the pounds and the pennies here, so you don't have to worry about that. But I know that you have got the loonies here. The toonies and the loonies. Well, we have loonies too. Only your loonies you put in your pocket, our loonies, we allowed them to walk around the streets. But I want you to understand this evening that there's a lot more than just the monetary here in this thought. The subject that I have is believers at home supporting missionary work. It's just not monetary and it's just not material. But we want to look at this under three different headings. We want to think of participation. We want to think of provision. And then finally, I want to think of petition. When we come to look at those three different headings, I want us to look under two other headings. Scripture, for we must have a basis from which to work from. Can I just say now to the young brethren and sisters, I know that oftentimes when you come to think of missionary work, whether it be here in the homeland or further afield, that maybe with your enthusiasm and your energy and your zeal, you're nearly prepared to leave behind the scriptures. And there's this temptation today of even copying the religious world in how they seek to promote the gospel. Well, let us this evening have our and find our basis in the scripture before we go on to look at the procedure. Can I stress this evening the importance of your involvement? It would be a tragedy if we come to the close of the conference session here in Langstaff and for your heart not to be reached, and for your will not to be affected. And you just leave the conference as you came. We trust, as a result of this weekend conference, that you may come to understand that there's a part for you to play. And there's something here that you can be involved in. Your involvement is important to us. But not only your involvement, but for you also to realize that you're an instrument. And that what you can do can complement and supplement the work of the missionary. That's the subject that we want to look at this evening. I was down in the city centre of Toronto the other day, and I was standing looking at a tremendous castle. They tell me that it was an Englishman that built it. I don't know anything about the history of it, but I stood and looked at it. You know what I understood? It's not the things that can be seen that hold up a building, but rather the stones that are unseen. I stood and I looked at the great carvings of that building, wooden and also in stone. I thought of the time that was put into that building, the energy that's behind it. But I realized that there was something of greater importance, and it was the foundations, it was the stones that could not be seen. Those of us that are missionaries, as we stand in the public eye, I feel that often many things that what we do, it's not of importance, but rather it's those that are behind us. Might be a sister here this afternoon. It might be a brother here. And it will be you that will get the reward in a coming day. Just to think of the believers here who have been participating in, providing for, and petitioning God on the behalf of many missionaries. Your work hasn't been seen. Your work hasn't been out there in the open to be praised. But we want to stand here this afternoon and tell you that we deeply appreciate, and missionaries in general, they appreciate the work that the home workers do. When we come to look at participation, well, can I just say that there are two sure ways to avoid becoming interested in missionary work. One of them is to elevate missionaries up to the position where you view them as superhuman, super spiritual, a people that, well, you could hardly ever reach their standard. I want us to let you in on a secret this afternoon. And I want to tell you, I'm just like you. I just have the same emotions as you. I just have the same feelings as you. Oftentimes lately, I just have the same attitudes as you. I'm absolutely ordinary. And God, as I said earlier this afternoon, God uses ordinary men. Save us today from presenting ourselves and pretending that we're something we're not. A danger in elevating missionaries. For if you elevate them, then you begin to feel, well, there's really nothing I could do that would help them. That there's nothing I could be involved in that would be a benefit for them. Just always remember, we're just standing on the same ground that you stand on. That would be one problem. But the other difficulty might be that you might eliminate missionaries. Just put them out of your mind. You don't want really anything to do with them. You don't want to be involved in the work. And that would be a tragedy. It's likely this afternoon that we're speaking to the converted in one sense. Those that are interested in missionaries are here at Langstaff Conference. Those that are not, well, they might be down at Rogers, down in the city centre, watching that big match. Well, we're glad to see you here today. And just to try to encourage you to be involved in missionary work. Let us come to look at participation. And first of all, to notice the scripture. I read this verse in Philemon and in verse number 17. If thou count me therefore a partner. The tremendous man, the Apostle Paul. He's writing to this man Philemon. And he actually says concerning this man, you're my partner. Paul didn't elevate himself far above the others. Paul valued a man like Philemon. He thought of Philemon as a colleague, a companion, a helper, a participant in the work. That's how we would like to view you this afternoon. The missionaries that are standing here, they likely would agree with me. We would love to see your deeper involvement in the work of God. Your participation. Ah, but you say, well, that's the scripture. Ah, you could notice, of course, here from Philemon that there are 11 characters in this book. And this Onesimus that is in the middle. There are 5 before him and there are 5 after him. Paul was the penman, verse number 19. The praising man in verse number 1. The prayer man in verse number 4. The problem solver in verse number 10. But in verse number 17, I come back again just to this word. A partner. I wonder, is there one here this afternoon, and you would be prepared just to be involved and participate in the work of God? And the missionary would look back and say, you're my partner. But you know, this is two-sided. Philemon, what was the thought that crossed his mind this day when he read these words? That great man, he counts me a partner. Ah, well, you say, Mike, today, well, how can I be a partner? You see, this is really the subject that I've got to come down to this afternoon. Practical, take-home suggestions, things that you can take with you as to how you become greater involved, how you can participate, and how you can be a partner in the work of God. Can I view it just maybe under the home as well as the assembly? Maybe I could speak to parents of my age bracket. Maybe those that are just a little younger. And you're wondering, how can we influence our children? How can we guide them? How can we direct them so that they grow up with a greater interest and involvement in the work of God? Surely it would be our desire today to try to create a missionary atmosphere in our homes, trying to set an example so that those that we are rearing, that someday they might give their lives in the service of God. What could I say in regards to home life? And I've got to go back to my home life. As I told you something about my call, I just have got to refer back to that and tell you that, well, I had parents that entertained missionaries. And I can recall evenings sitting in the home. I was only a boy, but it influenced me just to listen to the stories that these missionary brethren were telling. You could open your home. Your home could be an open door for missionaries as they come home on furlough, or men who are out full time in the work of God coming into your district. You could open your home. You could provide them a meal. You could provide that atmosphere in the home as you gather your children. That would be something for your children to be involved in. Ah, what about putting up a missionary board? I've gone into many homes, and even in our own home, we put up a missionary board. And there we have got photographs. And we've got maybe just a little detail as to different missionaries that we are interested in and the work that they do. And by the close of the day, as we begin to pray, well, we always try to make mention of a work in another land. But there's not only that. I want to come back to the subject this afternoon of books. We were encouraged as children to read biographies, the life stories, the adventures, the memoirs of men that, well, they lived their lives for God. Is it not true to say that the words of the Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 4, he being dead yet speaketh? True are those words. And it's true if you could just go across to that tent. There's a whole table. And there you have got the life stories of many missionaries. It would be good just to encourage your children buying them one of those books. Abbott, maybe in the assembly. Oh, again, there's an interesting thing there over on the left-hand side. There's the map. There are photographs. And that is good in an assembly, just to see them with an interest in the work of others. There might be reports, the inviting of missionaries to give a report on a certain man. This is something that is absolutely unique. I was just saying to our brother Clark outside, it would be good if we had this in Northern Ireland. Just to think that Langstaff has set the example. A conference, a missionary conference, just that our young brethren and sisters might be interested, further interested in the work of God. Practical, take-home suggestions. And those things that I have mentioned, well, they just might influence you. But brethren, influence is not enough. I feel that oftentimes in the assemblies, we do influence people. But we stop there. And we don't involve them in missionary work. You know, maybe in regards to the home, if you were inviting a missionary into your home for a meal, wouldn't it be a good exercise even with your children just to sit down and do a little homework about that country that this missionary brother is coming from? So that when he comes into the home and he begins to relate stories, that your children even, that they might feel part of it. They might be able to give just some little idea that, you know, they know something about that country as well. There's the letter, the writing of letters. There's something how that you'd not only be an influence, but an involvement in the work. And then we're down to the emails. Some people maybe think they're a curse today. I remember writing to a brother. Oh, he says, I've done away with emails long ago. You know, when I left Northern Ireland, I had spent a long time just getting it down to about 12 or 13 in the inbox. And then I rang Rhoda the other day, and it's up at 53. You see, this is something that, well, the missionaries have got to accept it today. This is actually maybe part of our work. Just to be able to correspond with young people, with assemblies, and correspondence has become a lot easier. Just to be involved in the letter writing, the emailing. You might lift up your phone. You don't know just what it is for a missionary to hear maybe a Canadian accent. You know, when we lived in the town of Kristiansand in Norway, we were on our own. I suppose our nearest missionaries were 3 hours further up the coast, and in the winter time, you would hardly drive it. And just for some brother in Northern Ireland or wherever to lift the phone and take a few moments to speak to us, that was something we deeply appreciated. And you could be involved in that work by just lifting the telephone to speak. Involvement in the work. Can I just come in regards to the assembly? And how are we going to involve our young people? Yes, we might influence them with the map at the back. And we might influence them with the reports and the conferences. But how are we going to involve them in the work? Why not get a young brother to open a report meeting some night? I honestly think sometimes that those of us that are elders or those of us that are missionaries, you know, we always want to be to the fore. And we're not allowing our young brethren to take part. We're raising the singing until we're nearly dying on our feet. We're booking the missionaries and the preachers, and we hardly know who's on the circuit today because we're that old. We're not allowing our young people to become involved in the work. Far better to train these young brethren and give them an opportunity to entertain in their homes and to open a prayer meeting or to open a report meeting while you're still alive and while you can guide them in that. Because they're going to have to do it, brethren, when you're dead and gone. And there's something that young people could be involved in. Entertaining a missionary into the area. A young brother just standing up and opening a report meeting. Young brethren and sisters beginning to correspond. Can I say that? There seems to be a trend today that when corresponding with a missionary, you send your gift, but you don't enclose a letter. But you expect the missionary to spend the time to write back. I think that's a sad feature. Time is something that's precious. And you haven't got enough time. But you're expecting the missionary, of course, to use his time to write back. Brethren and sisters, it would be good just to have an exercise and just to have this interest. I'm not going to only be influenced by Langstaff Conference, but I'm going to allow Langstaff Conference to involve me in the work, and I'm going to begin in my home assembly, in my local assembly, I'm going to begin to participate. But I want to come to Luke chapter 16. And I want to think of provision. Oh, this is the place where you would want the missionary to be hung, drawn, and quartered. This is the place where you'd want to leave him out to dry if you had the thought that he was going to begin to beg. I want to tell you, I'm not going to be begging tonight. We've been out in the work of the Lord since 1992. We left Northern Ireland. We'd sold our pensions. We'd given up our life policies. We didn't have any secret bank accounts. We didn't have any trusts. We didn't have any promises from family or friends or fellowships, wherever it were. We had no guarantee whatsoever. As our brother reminded us, John reminded us, that we're to go out today dependent upon God. And it's a tragedy if we stoop to beg. But you understand that I've got a message to say this evening. And when we look at Luke chapter 16, it's not only monetary that I'm thinking of. I'm going to have to deal with the material as well. And you see, Luke chapter 16 is a difficult verse or a chapter. I remember one time I was out in the Ukraine, and a young brother, he came up to me. He said, Timothy, now I'm not very good when someone springs a question on me, but he said to me, you know, could you really give me an answer in regards to verse number 8? Well, fortunately, just previously to that, I had been looking at Luke chapter 16, and I tried to answer it as best as possible. Luke chapter 16, well, the audience... Well, you might say Luke chapter 15 was the Pharisees. You might say Luke chapter 16 was the disciples. But verse number 14 tells us that it was a mixed company, for it was not only the disciples, but it was the Pharisees. Actually, there are two similarities between chapter 15 and chapter 16. There are two here. The prodigal of chapter 15 and this rich man of chapter 16, they were both entrusted with an amount of this world's goods. And the other similarity is these both men, they wasted it. Chapter 15 certainly has got to do with the sinner and salvation. Chapter 16, well, it has got to do with the saint and stewardship. It has got to do with service for God. That's why we read that question, how much owest thou unto my Lord? I wonder, could we answer that today? You know, if we went down just through the company and we asked that question, how much owest thou unto your Lord? Or if I was to ask myself, how much owest thou myself unto my Lord? How much? Well, how much did he give for us? Wasn't it true that he gave us back? It was true. He gave us back to the smiters. But it wasn't his back that saved us. It was true that he gave his cheeks to those that plucked off the hairs from off his face. But it wasn't the giving of his cheeks that saved us. But we think of these words. He loved me. And he gave himself for me. He gave more than his back. He gave more than his cheeks. He gave absolutely everything he had. He gave himself for me. He gave everything for you. I ask you the same question this evening. And how much owest thou unto your Lord? You can answer that best yourself. But
I think every one of us would have to bow our heads this afternoon and acknowledge we owe absolutely everything. Had the poet penned the words, "Oh, make me understand it. Help me to take it in, what it meant for thee, thou Holy One, to take away my sin." He gave himself, he gave all for me. What owest thou unto my Lord? When you think of that question, then of course the question in verse number 2 must come to mind, what shall I do? And I'm sure that's arising from some heart here in Langstaff Conference. You're just burdened with this thought, what can I do for him? What can I give back to him who gave his all for me? Verse number 9. I believe that that is the answer here in the context of chapter 16. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, or just that really we put in the word money. Make to yourselves friends of money, that when ye fail, some people say it is when it fails. Now it doesn't matter really whether it be the money that is referred to here or the person, because when the person fails, the money fails as well. So that when ye fail, or when ye die, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Wouldn't it be a good thing to leave this conference with a desire, I'm going to give, I'm going to sacrifice financially? Why? To see others reached and saved. It might just mean the buying of some tracts, and maybe sending those on to a man who's out full time in the work of God. It might mean buying something for someone that would benefit them in the spread of the gospel. Bibles, New Testaments, books. It might mean sending a financial gift to another so that they can use your gift to further the furtherance of the gospel, and for them to see, as a result of that, people reached and saved. Wouldn't it be a tremendous thing if you were to arrive home in glory to a welcoming party, people won to Christ as a result of a gift that you gave? That's the thought here that we have in verse number 9. In our home, and I've got to refer just again back to the home. You see, I'm not only interested in the influence tonight. I want to try to understand, how are we going to involve our children? How are we going to involve our young people? How are we going to guide them and teach them to give? Well, it's got to be by example. We made it a practice, Rhoda and I, in the home, to support missionaries. But we tried to encourage our children by asking them, would they have someone on mind? Now, I'm not saying that we took up the person that they suggested all the time. But because we were maybe interested or closer to certain missionaries, then, of course, our children, they were likely attracted to the same missionaries. And when we would ask them that, make that suggestion to them, would there be anybody on your mind as to who we could send this month a gift to? Then, you see, the children, they felt valued. The children, they felt that they were becoming involved in the same work, and that they were being supportive in that sense, that it was them that made the suggestion. You know where I learned that from? I learned that from our good brother Sammy Usher in Garva, the father of Yule Usher. Sammy Usher used to come down the street every day, and I had a little shop there, and he would come into the shop and he would stand and speak to me. And then sometimes he would say, Timothy, anybody in your mind in regards to a series of gospel meetings? And I would maybe make a suggestion. And that was likely the furthest person that Sammy ever thought of. He had likely no intention ever of bringing that person. But you know what I thought? There's an old man.
And he's wanting me to be involved here in the assembly in Killiecurgan. It's just not enough to have an influence, but an involvement in the work. And here's a man, and he appreciates me. Here's a man, and he wants me to be, again, involved. To feel part of it. And that's what we did with our children. Just so that they would grow up. You see, brothers and sisters, you can't expect your children to learn by example if you don't set them any example. And so it's good. At least I feel it's good. Just to have trained our children in that way, so that as they grow up and they begin to earn their own wage, then they will have learned by example to give. Ah, but it's not only, I must hurry, it's not only financial here, I believe. I want to come to the material. You see, you might have an interest just to send a parcel to a missionary. Can I come to this subject for, it's interesting from the missionary's point of view. You know, we received many, many parcels when we were in Norway. We began to learn that you should eat your cookies or your biscuits by spoon. People would put packets of biscuits. They know that I'm very fond of biscuits. And they would put packets of biscuits into a box. And they wouldn't wrap the biscuits in any sort of bubble paper. They would just send them in this parcel. And of course, by the time I reached Norway, they were all smashed and bashed. And you had to get a teaspoon to eat them with it. Some people knew that I liked English mustard. And I would write back, and I like English mustard. And then, lo and behold, the next lot of boxes that would come in, there would be enough mustard that would feed the whole of Kristiansand. Well, this is just something, I suppose it's the joy of missionary life. But I want to say, I take an example from an assembly in the north of Ireland. They were interested in sending a box of food. They would write to us. They would say, really, it's supposed to Rhoda, what do you want? So we would have to write down in one column what we wanted. Then the next question, where do you want us to buy it from? You see, brothers and sisters, little point in sending parcels out to the far end of the earth if you don't know what the missionary really wants. And if you send him food that he doesn't really like, well, that's really a waste of the Lord's money. It would be far better for you if you want to be involved in the sending of something that is material, that you know what the missionary does want, and you know what he likes to eat, and you send it maybe from the very place that he would like it bought from. But there's more than that. I remember a missionary that went out to Venezuela from Killiecurgan. And, well, for a while, we sent them a newspaper, a local newspaper. You see, missionaries at times like to sit down, maybe, and just read a local newspaper here from Toronto. Maybe just a local newspaper from your area, if they're from your area. Not only a letter, but a newspaper. Ah, but what about a magazine? You know, sometimes we have free time. There's a family in England, and they've sent me the National Geographic from about 1993. You mightn't agree with the National Geographic, but at least it has nice photographs in it. And you enjoy maybe in the evening just to sit down and, well, there's the National Geographic. You could send them the Time magazine, or maybe Newsweek magazine. There's a whole lot of magazines. Maybe just a missionary would just sometime love to get a magazine. Ah, but let us lift it into the spiritual. Maybe they would like a cassette. You see, when we were living in the town of Kristiansand, our children didn't have gospel meetings to attend, apart from the ones that we took. They didn't have conferences to go to. The only meetings were the meetings either that I took or the cassettes that brethren and sisters sent out to us. That's something that we counted valuable. I had a library that was absolutely tremendous. We gathered it up over the years of all of the best of the speakers from different lands and the ministry they gave, and we had it on cassette. Of course, now there's the CDs. And there's just a lot of things that you young brethren and sisters could do. These are only take-home suggestions. I've been asked to make them. Really, that not only that you might be influenced today, but that you might become involved in the work. I want to go to what I believe is probably the most important. Just as I close, what about prayer?
The Apostle Paul, as he wrote to those at Thessalonica, he could say in verse number 17, pray without ceasing. He closed in verse number 25 by saying, brethren, pray for us. I wonder, did you come to the conference today without praying? I go back to Yul Usher, Sammy Usher's son, Yul, who's out. He was here last year. I remember one time, Yul coming home, and I was home at the same time. You know what he said to me? Timothy, take time to pray. It's very possible that a missionary can become so involved in his work, and there's such a pressure put on him, even we ourselves mightn't find time to pray. Brethren and sisters, this is something that you could do for us. The Apostle Paul felt the value of it. He, writing to these believers, he said, brethren, the sisters as well, pray for us. Of the Scripture, I hear we have the frequency of it. Pray without ceasing. Wouldn't it be good just to leave the Langstaff Conference this evening and to make up your mind, I'm going to be involved in a missionary's work. I'm going to frequently mention his name, her name, at a throne of grace. Are the content of it, brethren, pray, Paul says, for us. But then, the intelligence of it. You know, you can't pray for someone or some work you don't know anything about. I remember sometimes attending a prayer meeting, midweek prayer meeting, in a certain hall. And the brother would go from one continent to another continent. And he did that every week. Well, God bless him. But I think it would be far better for us to be specific in our prayers. To be simple in our prayers. To be short in our prayers. And just to become so involved in a missionary's work that you're able to say, I'm going to pray for them. You know, the poet penned the words, and with this I close. Who will pray for us who go, bearing precious seed to sow? Who will pray that all may know? Who will pray? Who will pray for those we win, those we free from chains of sin, nevermore to live therein? Who will pray? Who will plead for sinners lost? Jesus paid their bitter cost. We both land and sea have crossed. Who will pray? As we open lands unknown, oft in perils and alone, who will name us at the throne? Who will pray? We will go, though fraught with fear, though we spend our finest years, gladly we are volunteers. Who will pray? Will Langstaff Conference be the place? My responsibility I will face. From today, I take up your case. I will pray. Brethren and sisters, participation in the work, provision for those in the work, petition and prayer, is something that we value. You know, the first thing that is said of the Apostle Paul, you remember that in Acts chapter 9, he just got saved. He'd opened his eyes, but he couldn't see, and he was taken to Damascus, and he was there 3 days. He was there without food and with nothing to eat. But Ananias was sent up the straight gate to Judas' house. Do you know what Ananias was told? Behold, he prayeth. Leave this conference today, having made up your mind. I'm not only going to allow this conference to influence me, but I'm going to become involved to do something for Christ, who gave us all for me.